Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael. Pray all is well. Everybody is feeling well. I'm your brother, Ariel. Been a good long time, family. Been a good long time. In fact, I forgot to open up for prayer. I just want to open up for prayer because it's like I haven't been here in so long. And so much is on my mind, so I'm praying to our dear that he take charge and I just stay within the word that he was giving me tonight. But the Shabbat doors open, family. Pray for you all have entered in, who are going to enter in. If you're still traveling and still trying to get home to just take a load off, to just take the week off yourself, may Abba guide you home safely and keep you until you get there. You and your family that all may come into the door of Shabbat and lay down all our burdens from this world. It's the only time that we get a true chance to separate from this world system right here, because this is the only day out of many, but this is the day that he said he sanctified, right? This is the day he said he blessed. This 24-hour period, we are in a time of Baruch, a time of blessings, 24 hours. This 24-hour period that we are in right now is blessed. And you know what? Nobody can take it away. They may can think to change his times and laws, but they cannot take away the blessing in this day. Man can't take away from it. Halal can't, Satan can't take away from it. And you know what? We can't even take the sanctity of it away. We can't. When we don't keep it fully and do what we're supposed to do, we are defiling our own peace, our own time. But the blessing is in the day already. There's nothing, nobody. When I say nobody, I mean nobody. Angel, man, anything can do to take this blessing away from this day. And you know how we are as people. We love blessings. Keep the Shabbat. We love being blessed. Keep the Shabbat. Because he blessed it over 5,000 years ago. And for 5,000 plus years, each time this time period right here roll around, there's a blessing. Huh? Think about that in your spare time. Think about that. But let me open up with a prayer, family, before I get to talking and rambling, because I miss it. I truly miss being here and all in Abba's will, though. Everything in Abba's will and Abba's time. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Yeah, I want for opening the Shabbat door, Father, and allowing all those who take part of it to come in and to dwell and sup with you, Father. May your meals be fulfilling to us all, Father, in this day of Shabbat, Father. We get these three portions that you serve up each and every Shabbat, Father. May they be fulfilling to each and every one of us, Father. May they be character altering, right? May they alter our characters, Father. May they take root within us and grow, Abba Yah. May your word do as you said it would do. It would do your will. May that be within each and every one of us, Father, that hear those seeds that drop on this fertile ground or this hardened heart. Whatever, Abba Yah, I'm asking, I'm praying, pleading, allow your word to do what it has to do for us, Abba Yah. Abba, I ask and pray for all those who are alien in any type of way, Father, physical, mental, spiritually, Father, that you give them rest, Abba Yah, that you remove the thorns that's within their flesh, that is your will, Father, Yah, that you look down and you bring us up, Abba. Each and every day that we strive to walk towards you one step, I know that you take 10 steps, Father, Yah. So continue to cover us, Father. Father, I want to pray for my Marais, Father, my Rabbi, Father, my Elders, Father, my Emas, Father, my Akoti, my ox, my Yaladim, the whole household of Beth Yahweh, the whole household of Yeshua our Father, and everyone, every proselyte, everyone that's thinking about coming this way, that you send them somebody that is called out, that you send them someone to continue their walk as you plant water, as you do all three, Father, through a servant. But you get the glory in Abiyah. You get the glory. Let us be willing vessels to do your will, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who have sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome once again, family, to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother, Ariel, bringing you Ibrit culture, that is Hebrew culture. And we have another journey to go on through Abba's word. He's taking us on another journey. And this journey, the title of it that he gave me about a month and a half ago, that he started talking to me about this journey, The Art of War. In fact, we will be reading out of the book, The Art of War, tonight, family. We will be reading out of that, and we'll be going through a chapter. Hopefully, by the end of this, we'll be finished this whole book, Yahweh's Will. At the end of this 6 weeks, it'll be Yahweh's Will. And then somebody sent me a text. I'm thinking that I'm coming through. Ain't nobody sent me nothing, but if I'm sounding good, everything is clear, y'all can hear me, and everything is, if you can. But we'll be going through the book, The Art of War, and we'll be reading in that throughout this week, throughout these 6 weeks' journey. And the undertitle to this is leadership. We'll be talking about leadership tonight. And Torah Aki, Torah, and we'll be going through and understanding leadership. And again, it's Abiyah who brings things. And we're going to see if there's a multitude of ways of leadership. Leadership comes in a many of ways. And we know that Abba appointed men to give his word. So we'll go through that. We'll read in the book, and I'm just, I'm going to try not to do a lot of explaining, because a lot of it is self-explanatory tonight, and I'm just want to read. I just want to read. And the characteristics of leadership, right? We'll understand that tonight, prayerfully. We'll understand what it means to be a leader, right? And what is the number one attribute of a leader? The number one attribute. And again, let's move away from just the leadership of Beth Yahweh, the leadership, the elders and all that, the Marais and all that, because again, they across the board, leadership is across the board. It goes across the board. And we're going to see some things. And my meditation this week about the lesson, talking to Abba and going back and forth with Abba, not going back and forth, just meditating on the lesson and running it through my mind and through my spirit. And one of the things that he showed me about leadership is through my rabbi, through my spiritual leaders, right? And as I was meditating, I thought about Rabbi Gershon Ben Daniel and what Abba brought to mind, and what changed for me was I fell in love with Yahweh through Rabbi Gershon Ben Daniel. You know, and throughout that that time that I've been a member of Beth Yahweh, that he nurtured that love. He was able to guide that love. And even if, because we all been in love before, if we have, if we not, you love somebody, right? You love somebody, you love something. And that's what Rabbi Gershom McDaniel was doing for me. He was guiding the love that I have for Yahweh. You know, and didn't understand that I fell in love with Yahweh through that man. And then, and again, because we always got to do disclaimers here, because it ain't man worship. We do not do that here. But we do follow the scripture. Even when Shaul said, follow me as I follow Yahushua, right? It's not man worshiping here. It's coming to understand, because everybody will not get a burning bush experience. Everybody won't get that. Everybody will not get the road of Damascus experience. You will not get that. Everybody ain't going to get that. You're just not going to get it that way. But you have a multitude of people that's rousing up claiming that they know, and they don't know. They don't have the true relationship with Abba Yah, because they didn't get it through a leader. They didn't go to somebody who was sent by him. They didn't hear that. They didn't sit under somebody. And when you go through the scriptures, you understand that everybody had to sit under somebody. Everybody, unless you got a burning bush experience, unless you, who was the prophet, Nahum, was it Nahum, said he was in his, he was in the farm or the garden, and Yahweh came, unless you got that. When you get that, you still have to sit and learn. You still have to sit and learn. You have to. There's no other way with this. You have to sit and learn. Everybody, again, will not get a burning bush experience, and you will not get the road of Damascus. Even when Yahushua went out and called his 12, they had to sit under him and learn before they were sent out. They had to sit under him, right? In I believe the book of Samuel, that there was a school of prophets in Israel. They had to go to school. They had to sit under someone to get that experience. So I just had to give those disclaimers, because I understand how the mind works and how Hallel, how Satan can easily jump in there and whisper, and the person gates is not up, and they're not pulling every thought under subjection to Yahushua. Thoughts get in. They do. But the scripture tells us to pull every thought under subjection of Yahushua and get rid of it. We nurture these thoughts. We don't pull them under subjection. We nurture them, and they grow, and they fester, and something else come out. You all off base. Because of him, I remember, and if you ever sat under Rabbi Gershom McDaniel, I remember going to him and I was wrong. But he never told you that you was wrong. He gave you a story. And he let you know through the story of himself. He laid himself on the altar first and foremost. That's what I saw. That's what I fell in love with. Like, hey, this man telling me all his weaknesses, all his failures, all everything that happened. And this is how he learned from these things. And he was able to give me a story, and I'm sitting back and didn't feel the blow of that I was wrong as much, but he was able to show me through his own life how wrong I was, and I needed to apologize. I need to rectify that, right? And then there's a multitude of things that you have learned from Rabbi Gershom McDaniel, right? A multitude of things that you learned from his life. Rabbi Yaakiel, the same way, laid himself on the altar a many times. But I'm telling you, the one thing that stuck out to me, and this was recently, but it's a multitude of things. As the leader, Yahushua said, if you want to lead, you first must become a servant. Right here, it always gives me chills because in my mind, I couldn't find it. I couldn't do it. But if you're led by the Spirit of Yahushua, you don't know what you will be able to do. And when he went around there, I hope Brother Mario don't mind, his mom was in the hospital. And I said I was going around there, and this at the time that Rabbi Yaki L. Isha had passed. And I said, he said, I'm going with you. He went around to support another brother while he was grieving. And to me, leadership. But the Spirit of Yahushua will give. And that's one of the questions that Abba had me to think about and to put out there. How, for those who are in leadership, see you? Do they see compassion? Do they see that I lay my life down for him? And again, go through the scriptures. It's not that the men honored that man. They understood that it was the Spirit of Yahweh on him. So they would jump in front of anything for that man. Because you see Yahweh, because you fall in love with Yahweh through them. And that's what Yahweh was showing me, that we become matchmakers when you become in the role of a teacher or an Israelite, a just layperson Israelite. You become matchmakers. Because when people see you and they think you're such a wonderful person, they give you all these accolades. In their own flesh, we eat it up. It's the Spirit of Yahweh that's on us that they see, that they wonder, they can't understand. They feel drawn to you. A believer, we're supposed to introduce them to Abba Yah. Let me show you somebody that helped me, that can love you 100 times more than I can love you. Let me show you him, because it ain't me. It ain't me. Like Brother Shaul say, Brother Paul say, oh, wretched man that I am. That's who I am. Dirt. Way back in the garden, I'm in the image, in the likeness of dumb. Dumb fell, all his kids fell with him, everybody behind him. If you want to be honest, that's all of us. But we become matchmakers because we want to introduce people to Yahushua HaMashiach. Because it ain't us. It ain't us. It's Yahushua HaMashiach that leads and guides us to do the things that we do. Because many times we will lash out. We will lash out. And the many times that we become leaders by default, especially if you're an Israelite, if accepted Yahushua and trying to keep his commandments, you become a leader by default. By default, you become a leader, and I'm explain that. We will understand what I mean by that. Now, for those who have younger siblings, or for those who are the older or the younger sibling, right? If you left that house, your mother and your father left that house, and you as the older sibling, and that younger sibling did something, mom and dad may have never told you, you in charge. I'm in charge when I leave out this house. They may have never told you. But when they came back and the house was in shambles, younger person, the younger child did something, who they looking at? they looking at that older child. Why? What they gonna say? You know better. Isn't that Israel? Israel, you have I only known. You know better. You know better to do right. So the nation of Israel is leaders. They become leaders by default because they have been given something. That story. If you know the story of Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa. He didn't go to Hawa first. Adam for Adam. Come here. Woman, you gave me. Hold up. Back up. Adam. But he had to go. Then he had to go ahead and rectify it. He had to let him know, all right, Hawa, I'm going to be to your husband. Adam, you're in charge. There was nobody in charge. Adam did not know at that time he was the leader. 20 fingers. He blamed. Hey, I was here by myself, man. You was good, Abba. All of a sudden, you the one said that I need to help me. I just rolled with it. You gave me that. That's what Adam did. He pointed fingers. He didn't know he was in charge. He didn't know that he was going to get many stripes, more stripes than Kawhi. But Abba had to let him know he was in charge. No different than what the brothers had to do for the temple. Abba gave two brothers, I can't remember their name, leadership role. Like in our congregation, we have those who are not priests, but they are still in leadership position. Abba has given them a charge. He has been given a leadership role. Abba has given him a charge. Role. Think of Sister Samaria. Leadership role. Abba has given her the charge of assisting Harvel. Write most of the songs. Leadership role. And if I'm missing somebody, forgive me. Across the board, Israel is in leadership role. Across the board. And there are some leadership. There are some roles that are different than others. We don't have to go through that, right? We don't have to go through the different roles. We know the roles. We know the priests, what their roles are. Actually, their roles are for the soul. Their roles are for the souls of the house of Yahweh. Each and every one of them. Souls fall on them. That's what they tell them, if they're telling them. And Rabbi Yaqiel, everybody's soul. He's the only one in the congregation that is responsible for all of our souls. More honor should you give somebody who you know and come to understand that they're responsible for your soul. They are responsible for giving you life. I hope you understand that. I hope if I got to break that down, somebody shoot a text later on. We could talk about that. Call me later on. We talk about that. But got to break that down about he's responsible and the rest of my race are responsible for your soul. Yes, they are. But we are in the route we're going because I always ask Abba, why? Why are we going this way? Because right now, Hillel, it's not that he wasn't before. If you just pay attention to the world system, just pay attention to the world system. And the other night, I heard the cry in Zakin's voice when he was asking, do anybody have anything to say on this very, very important subject that we're talking about? And as a Moray, because he is in the Yahweh gave him something 2-3 years ago, teaching us herbs. That's teaching. Just because he don't have to always put together a lesson, he's still teaching. He's still in a teaching role as an elder. Like 2 to 3 years ago, it was cricket. Anybody got any questions? But we all can testify that Abba Yah gave him that. Why? Because today, everybody want to get their immune system and get their health in order because there's something that attacking the world, Yahweh, United States, not Baltimore, not York, but the world needs your immune system intact where you need to be healthy. Because if you get this thing, it could possibly take you out. Down real bad. It could come upon you something fierce. So Abba gave him something 3 years ago. Look here, I know they're hard-headed and stiff neck, but you tell them anyway. You tell them about getting in shape, just doing a little walk. You tell them about eating healthy, changing their diet. Yes, they eat kosher. Yes, they follow my dietary laws. But hey, they still can abuse that because they out of shape, and I'm one of them, out of shape. Woof! I had to walk when we made them. Isha was away and on vacation at a 3 mile hike. Brother Ivy, you'd have been proud of me. Although I stopped like 3 times on that road because we were going up a mountain. But you still have been proud of me. Zach and you too, because I know y'all two goes on hikes. Y'all put it out there to the congregation. Who won't go on a hike? Who won't go and walk in nature? And I haven't been yet. I wish I had, but I was forced to do that one. But Abba gave them something 3 years ago, and today we see the importance of it. We really, and that's been through, who have always been healthy, like you got a brother Shabba, who will walk from here to Timbuktu. He don't care. If he had a bike, he's riding back and forth. Brother in good shape for his age. And so there's a few. But I would say, I know there's a few, but I need you to tell a hope because there's something coming. And here we go again. There's something coming. Under the leadership of Rabbi Yaakov, gave it to Zakin Amin now, teaches about prepping, teaches about growing stuff so we can be prepared. Let the people know to be prepared because something coming. My word been telling y'all for years, there's a famine coming. If it's manufactured or not, I'm telling you that there's a famine coming. There's something coming. And it's upon us today. Maybe it may not be at the extreme yet, but think that Yahweh talked to Rabbi Gershom and Daniel. Rabbi Yaakov, talked to Amin El, and we had started something 3-4 years ago. 4 years ago about, hey, start putting away water, start saving water. Wow. All of a sudden, you start saying more. Now, we see today that you can't go in there and buy more than 3 cases of water. Everybody buying water. They done took the little cheap Walmart water and made that $6-$7. So one time, it was $3. You could probably walk in there on a good day and get it for $2.95. Case of water. Now, the same case is double. I would put it in their hearts and minds. Years ago, start saving, start prepping, start preparing. Because as believers, we should know, understand the world system is not going to stay like this forever. It's not going to be peaches and cream forever. It's not. It tells us over and over that it's going to go off track. See something? It's like the cognitive dissonance in our mind. Yeah, we hear, but bam, we and it snap, your mind snap right back into everyday life. Bam, it go right here, and then it bam, it keeps snapping back. Every time you go that way, you're like, bam, it come back. Good day. Right. But enough. I do have a left in me. I do have a, we got a lot of reading to do. So I'm going to try to get in here and read. But I'm not. I'm leadership, family. Leadership. How are we doing with our leadership? How many would lay down for their leadership? And we're not asking that. Not asking that. How many leaders will die as Yahushua, as Brother Shaul, as Brother Kepha, as what Yahushua said about the prophets, Israel, he sat there and he cried and he wept. Said, Israel, thou who killest the prophet, I wanted to gather you like a mother hen under my wings. And I sent prophets to you daily. Daily, I sent them to you, Israel. But you was killing them over and over again. You would think Abba would stop. You think he would stop. Man, they just ain't going to do nothing but kill you. I'm not going to see you down there in all those wolves, and they just going to kill you. But he didn't. That's love. That is love. He didn't stop sending them. Matter of fact, as the parable he said, he sent his son. All right, and you go down there, they'll listen to you. Cause in their mind, they think they know you, but you go and you show forth who you are, my Torah. You are my word. You are my living word. They listen to you. Yahushua came, what they do? Crucify him. Crucify him. That's Israel. But he never stopped loving them. He never stopped loving them. In fact, he knew that we was a harlot. He knew it about us. He gave us a story. He gave us a book through the brother Hosanna, Hosea. Right, Hosea. Can you imagine Israel seeing Hosea life? Are they learning from Hosea life? Is they mocking Hosea? Are they learning from him? Are they understanding why his life like that? Or were they mocking him? Look at him, you're gonna be a prophet. What in the world was wrong with this boy here? Why in the world would you go get a known prostitute and marry her? She is a known prophet. Everybody know her. Everybody know her. I'm talking about in the biblical sense. Everybody know her. And that is. Top of that, no money, Jose. You go down there and you give her lover's money. You take care of her and her lover. Now, come on now. Let's bring it up to date. We will mock that brother. Look at that brother, and we be like, we turn our nose up. Man, I don't know. Death Yahweh knows. Death Yahweh lived that. You know how much Yahweh love us? We lived that. Lived it. Had a man in the congregation. Him and Daniel, his wife tired. Knew she was out there, but would welcome her back with open arms, kept loving her regardless. Loving her. He loved her. That's Hosea. Those days mocked them. I mean, it's mocked Rabbi Gershom and Daniel. Not understanding that Israel, you are the harlot, and Yahweh is the house. Not understanding that. This ain't no play thing. This thing is real, we doing here. It's real. We live in the book. We are living the book. End up on the good side or you going to end up on the bad side. Don't matter. Don't matter. Don't matter to you and to me. But the choice is up to us. Whatever side we end up on, but we live in the book. We have witnesses to know we are living the book. How many people understand that? We live in it. We live in the book. But again, we're talking about the art of war, and we're going to get back to that. Forgive me if I keep talking, but I'm missing it. And as I prayed before I got on here, Yahweh, you talk. Let me not talk. You talk. You know what your people need to hear. You know. You know why a lesson is coming out and when it's coming out. Everything is upon your time. Don't think those Murrays when they sitting in them rooms or they get a thought wherever they at and Yahweh started churning that thought. Going in and building on that thought that they get, don't think it's their thought. I do got to say that all the time. Because, yes, we sometimes we move in front of Yahweh and we, hey, look at me. We move in front of Yahweh. We speak sometimes when he say don't speak. We move. But that still little voice will still speak. Hey, hey, hey. We can't that. Bring that one back. I didn't say that. Go and tell the people, let them know that I spoke out of my own mouth, out of my own carnal sin. Bring that back. And this is what Yahweh said. This is the truth. Hey, I don't care if you're wrong. I don't care how bad you look. You go up there, you let them know that I didn't say that, that was you speaking, and you spoke wrong, and you go correct it. Open up your mouth. Why did Abba tell a prophet, those who wrote in the scriptures, everybody who did wrong, why did he never whited that part out? Those who was chosen to do certain jobs and they did wrong, like David, and you got Brother Shaul, you got Abraham. The list is long, right? Only one but Yahushua. But everybody else, keep on writing. Keep on. And one might say, so we can know that nobody perfect. That's why. And you know what? That's true. Nobody perfect but Yahushua. So we can understand that our doo-doo stink too. And that's true. But you know what Abba said? When I asked him that, so you can understand mercy that was shown to you. So you can better show other people mercy. Huh? But we forget that. It ain't just about our duty don't stink that we have to come to understand that mercy was shown to us. Grace was shown to us. And you have to show that to other people. Especially if you're a leader. You're a leader. If you're called to deliver souls, mercy and grace was shown to you. I expect you to get off your horse. Therefore, you have to go and correct the brother and sister. But in everything, let it be in decency and in order. Say, consider yourself before you go to that person. Consider you, because I'm taking notes. And show mercy right here. No. Yeah. You remember all the other times, the 10,000 times I showed him mercy? And then one time, he didn't show mercy. Yeah, right here in the book. Brother Ariel, what was wrong with your mercy that day? What you forgot? That time that you fell and I had to come lift you back up? That time that you prayed, crying in your bed at night, and I had to come and get you back up? Mercy, I told you, just like the woman that was caught in sin, sin no more, but you still sinned again, and I still showed your mercy again. In order. Everything. I'm gonna try my best to start this lesson, family. But I hope y'all got some talking. Another mark of a leader. And this again, you got to love Yahweh's word. You got to love everything about Yahweh's word. You got to love it. You have to adore it. And again, you got to fall in love with it. You have to over and over. And then we can fall out of love with it. But that doesn't mean Yahweh fall out of love with us. His love ain't going to never change. His love, that fall in love, that's crap. That's that European stuff. That stuff came by. We just know love. We know Ahab in Israel. It's just love. It's Yahweh, right? But Abba knows. He understands sometimes disappointment, sometimes our own expectations get in the way of love. Our own expectations to really indulge, really be in bliss of love. And that as husband and wife, as relationships that happen, disappointments and our own expectations of another person. Right? They happen. Just the frailty of being in this flesh, the frailty of being human. But in all of that, I would give us no excuse. We have no excuse. There is no excuse for not showing mercy and grace. There's none. He give us no excuse for that. It hurts him when we don't show mercy and grace. Yahushua had to give us a parable about that, right? Man beat up another man, and he was thrown in jail, and the judge, he begged and pleaded the judge, went out there, saw somebody over him, picked him up. Then the judge looked at him, what happened? I just showed you grace and mercy, and you didn't remember that I just showed you that. See you out my eyesight, you go do that to another fellow. He frowns upon that. He frowns upon that. But this will be a mantra scripture for throughout the art of war. This will be the mantra, and it is Shemot 15:2-3. I might just read 1, 2, and 3 just for today, but for the most part, it will be 2 and 3, but today, because, again, we're talking about the art of war, but within the art of war, there's leadership. But as I read these three scriptures, I'm going to read something else, so the story will start coming together. Shemot 15:1. We're going to read down to our three families. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to Yahweh and said, I will sing to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Yah is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my Elohim, and I will praise him, my Father's mighty one, and I will exalt him. I like. I'm going to slow that one down again. I'm going to read it again. Because this right here, I want this to sink in. Yah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation, my Elohim, my mighty one. Praise him, my Father's mighty one. Exalt him. This right here. Yah is a man of war. Yahweh his name. And that's a just right. We read it in the WEBA family, if you want to follow along in your scriptures. Three again. Yah is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more. We're going over to Shemot, 17, and we're just going to read 16. We're going to come back to Shemot chapter 17, so keep that. But we're just building. We're building right now. Yah said, he said, Yah have sworn. Yahweh have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And we read this one before, right? We read, and if you go back, and if you read the follow-up story in chapter 15, the follow-up story is they saying because Yahweh has just overthrown Pharaoh. Now, Yahweh saying here in Shemot that he will fight in battle against Amalek, not just today, but for every generation, from generation to generation. Or against. But we just read in Shemot that Yahweh is a man of war. Here it is in Shemot again. He's going to war against someone. We understand, we know, for those who don't, and that Pharaoh points to Hillel, Satan. And we know in this story right here, because Amalek is gone. Thousands of years ago. How are you going to fight Amalek from generation to generation? So Amalek points to somebody else again. That's as Pharaoh. Pharaoh points to Hillel, our adversary. Amalek points to Hillel. The same story is going through the scriptures over and over again. And we're going to read that this war, it does not just sit in the quote-unquote assembly or what we call what they call the church. It's just not in there. This thing encompasses everything about man. And they're going to use, Hillel will use not just trying to change the ceremonial laws or get you to eat some pork every now and then. And again, we want to see and understand that the spiritual standing of this war, we don't get there too, but it's spiritual. And in that spirit realm, we have to have Yahushua to fight. We have to come to understanding that we are a part of Yahweh's army. We are part of that. You go into the book about Midbar or the Numbers. He numbered the people. That's when the people were getting census. And he said, he started, hey, I'm getting my army together now. Every male over 20 years and over have to join my army. Every male over 20 years and over. Israel and went and took it to a whole nother level. They got male and female. I'm talking about the state of Israel, not the nation, the state of Israel over there in what they call the Middle East. They got male and female in their army. And it actually starts at 20 years old because I met a few. They used to be here in the malls. And, I had to spend 2 years. It's mandatory over in the state of Israel for every male or female, once they get 20, to go to army. It's mandatory. They stole that from us, but they just took it to another level. Yahweh didn't say women, go fight. He said males, go fight. 20 and up. But we know and understand it's just not physical. It's more. It may be physical every now and then, but it's more spiritual than anything. It's more spiritual than anything. And again, if you have been paying attention to this world system, you'll know that. You'll know that crime and evil is on the uptick. Even in history, it had haven't been this high uptake in this world system. And guess who smack did in the middle of it? Guess who's right in the middle of it? You know what? I'm going to go get that. Brother Yaki L sent something out the other day. I think that was on the line between me and another brother. We was talking about something, and he had sent something out. And I said, oh, that's right. I had to repost that. And listen to what he said. Listen to the thought he gave. I'm going to try to find it real quick. Real quick. It was on point. And especially on point to what we said. We was talking about the darkness of this world, right? Oh, man. I'm trying to find it. Bear with me, fam. I'm trying to hurry up. We got a line in here. What's up, Mom? Oh, yeah. Here we go. And listen to this. This is what he sent out. This world system, he's talking about this world system and how the darkness and everything. This world system has always belonged to that old serpent since the fall of Adam and Hawa. Think about that. How many people understand that, though? How many people really and truly understand that point right there? This world system has belonged to the adversary since Adam and Hawa has failed. Understand that. Well, again, it's that cognitive dissonance. And your mind, you get it, but then it keeps popping back. Bow, everything all right. It's like it goes and it goes and it goes, and bow, it pops right back. Right? Pops right back. We get it. We understand it. Yeah, once Adam and Korah sinned, the world belongs to Satan. I get it. I understand it. And bow, right back to normal. But that. There's no shame in that, family. No shame in that. Scripture said, that's why the brother put out a couple weeks ago, pray without ceasing. No shame in that. Because we are flesh. We are attached to this world. The more we attach ourselves to Abba Yah, the more we'll be able to pull away, and the more we'll be able to see the reality of what this world truly is, of what it truly is. Let me start over, because it ain't long. It's real short. This world system has always belonged to that old serpent since the fall of Adam and Hawa. House of Tongue hasn't infiltrated. Listen to this one, this part right here, real quick. House of Tongue hasn't infiltrated the Most High kingdom. No, because he got kicked out, right? He didn't infiltrate that. Yisra'el was created to infiltrate House of Tongue's kingdom, to dispel the darkness by manifesting the light of Yahushua to whom all power, hallelujah. But the point he was making, hey, belongs to Halal. This world belongs to Halal. But you know what? You down there, you are my spies. You are my secret agent. You are the one that's going to infiltrate this kingdom, overthrow it from the inside. That's your job, Israel. Every one of y'all, somebody who said, yes, I do, I will marry you. Good job. Infiltrate Satan's kingdom and implode it from the inside. Yisra'el, that's our job. So we all become spies, in other words. We all become good agents. All of us. Amen? I thought that was powerful. So where was it? I finished that 16. But let's move on. The art of war. And how is it that, think about that, you know, every time something happens, or a person becomes grand or great at something, they would talk about the art of something. Or, oh boy, he was an artist out there, right? With that basketball, he painted a Picasso. You know, Picasso is an artist that everybody likes to throw out there whenever something is grand, because in the world system, he is the one that looked at as this great artist, right? But the art of something is basic. It basically means the skill of, great skill in doing that thing. But we are talking about the art of war. So let's read that again. And the skill that war. Scripture says he was a man of war. Hallel. Very skilled at war. Everything from his father. His father didn't take his knowledge away from him. Yahweh didn't say, you know what, hello, give me all your knowledge back. Let's talk about this. Why all this started? We may talk about that. We may get to that point. Because Hillel did something. It's like a child challenging their father. We're not going to go there tonight. We're just going to talk about, but the art of something is basically means the skill of. There's great skill in doing that thing. We had a couple classes. I made one at least. And we have a master teacher. Brother Avi is a master teacher. He has great skill in the martial arts. If there's masters in everything, he have become so good at artistry and how he moves and how he can defend and how he can give a blow. He moves in artistry, right? He had gained a great skill in that. You know, and what is war? A state of armed conflict between different nations and states. Of armed conflict, and everything is not a sword or a gun. They will be able to use any and everything. Yahweh has guidelines. He has rules. He has righteousness. He only going to beat him in a righteous way. Even if he have to use him to beat himself, we get there too. But basically, what the art of something is being very good at it. That's what Abba want us to be. He want us to be very good, very skillful. Defend his talk. How we allow the Ruach to move within us, right? He said it this way. He said it like this. Be wise as serpent, for harmless as dove. Be very skillful. Have understanding of everything you're doing and why you're doing it. Right now in the West. Right? Let's read. No, we ain't got to read that. I'm not talking about that. I'm going to go to Ephesians, and we're going to read this one thing in Ephesians. And Ephesians 6, which we all have read this before. We're only reading two verses in Ephesians 6. And because we want to get to something. We want to get to verse 12. We're going to start at 11 just for the day. But we want to get to verse 12. We want to understand something. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And again, I'm reading out of the WEBA. So with the WEBA, and if you got it, you can go and you can highlight that word wiles, and it has dictionary. They have a dictionary, and this is dictionary. I didn't got the name of it, but I'm just going to read some synonyms of the word "wow." And let's keep in mind what we're talking about. We're talking about warfare, right? Pronoun, synonym, wow, trick, rouse, ploy, scheme. Dodges, maneuvers, gambits, subterfuges, cunning, stratagem, artifices, devices, contrariance, guile, artfulness, art, cunning, craftiness. And that's the wiles of the devil. So he got all that in this war that we in, right? For we wrestle not in flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Think about that. We read over that part a lot. The world rulers of the darkness. That means those men that's in charge, running the world, they in bed with Satan. They have made confederacy with Halal in this war. So we warned against that man, those world rulers in darkness, and we rule it against, warned against spiritual forces. But Abba Yah said, I have gave you what you need. But before we read what we were fighting against, on the whole armor. And then he goes through the whole armor. We don't have to go through that tonight because we had a more to go through the armor of Yah. Just go back in the archives and find, because I believe he had a title, the armor of Yah, and he broke it down through the spirit of Yahweh beautifully. So we don't have to go back through the whole armor. But just before we said what we got to fight against, what we're warned against, hey, I'm going to equip you with something. So it's not like we're going into war or we're going into battle blind and the enemy can blindside us. But sometimes he does. He do. He blindsides us. It happened to me this week. Even, and listen to this. Listen. Even though when I called my rabbi, earlier this week, and I was sharing the revelation that Abba gave to me, and we was on the phone, and he was sharing some things with me. He was excited. I was excited about the word of Yahweh, and I said, just before I said to him, before I got the phone, I hope that old Satan don't come and derail me. And it's almost like something smacked inside of him. Ho! You got power over him. He didn't allow me to stay in that foolishness that I just... No, you got power over him. If he comes, so what? You know how to defeat him. So I just had to smile like, thank you. But it wasn't out of harshness. It was just a reaction. It's just how his spirit reacted. Remember, are equipped to fight, are equipped to defeat him. Give yourself, don't downplay what Abba have already given you. I hope you don't allow him, want him to come, so you can stand on Yahweh. That's what I got out of what he said to me. Because his tone changed. I don't know if he noticed it, but I did. His whole tone changed. No, you're not. After we just sat here, I was going to give you something, and you're going to go out like a champ like that. No, you're not. Stand on Yahweh's word. You're going to stand. And that's why I'm in love with Yahweh. Because of that type of leadership. Right there, knowing that it's all from love. Because Yahweh don't want no cowards. He said in the book of Revelation, no cowards. That's why I'm in love with Yahweh. Because of the leadership that he has set me under. That he's showing the love, the soft heart, and the spanking. Get your mind right. Constantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, family. We got some reading to do. We will not be in the scriptures for a while. I told y'all, if you can, go get this book, The Art of War. I believe his name is Sung-Zi. And we'll be reading in the first volume. And the name of this volume is Consideration and Estimation for War. Didn't I, Yahushua, tell us that? And again, I'm going to try to just read. A lot of this is common sense. For those who have the Ruach, those who have the Spirit, you will hear. You will hear Yahweh. You will hear Hillel, how to defend against him. You will hear how Yahweh is, and you will hear how he is, or how he is strategizing against you, and how Yahweh is strategizing, and what he has given us to strategize against. But I like the title of this one, Consideration and Estimation of War. Did not Yahushua tell us that? Hey, don't just jump on his bandwagon. He said, hey, come consider the cost. This book, you will hear the spirit of Yahweh. You will hear. Yahweh use anything. He can use anything. So let's read, family. And bear with me, because y'all know me. Bear with me. And if you have it, you can read along. We're in book one, to the development and growth of man and society. I keep saying I'm just going to read, so allow me just to read, family. And it leads either to construction or destruction of an entire group or state. As a leader of men, you should understand this concept without question. If you do not understand the need for conflict, then you should not be in control of the society you presume yourself to be in charge of. If there is no conflict, internal or external, there can be no growth. The resolution of it says warlord, but every time I get to this word warlord, I'm going to change it and say leader. The resolution of a leader affairs, worldly or otherwise, forces personal development in the individual. However, conflict does not always mean physical combat. Being prepared for any eventuality by understanding the controls required to develop your own particular agenda are essential. You must see the need for battle if you wish to develop your own cause on any level. But you should not fight a battle if you cannot foresee winning the war. Yahweh already won, family. For those who don't know, Yahweh already won. The leader, understanding the tools to wage war, must also understand men must have the presence of mind to give others without hesitation, regardless of the outcome. This is essential. Correct preparation will generally ensure a successful carried-out campaign. The reality of life and the attitude of the faith play an important role. You cannot know if you will be successful or not. You can only prepare for battle, and it must be done with all of your heart and with all of your consciousness. In that manner, you will have the edge. Being unprepared will bring about defeat unless you are truly exceptional, and there are very few who fight a battle that you cannot win. And you cannot win unless you have properly planned for it. Faith, which is based on your true desires, will determine the outcome of the conflict according to the extent of your own belief and faith. Nothing more, nothing less. The wrong weapon placed in the hands of an untrained soldier will result in the defeat because of a lack of consideration given to the matter by the leader. Generally, men know their own weapons and are comfortable with them. Choose your men with great care and consideration. Think about Yahweh. He chose us, Israel. Choose your men with great care and consideration. To let fate choose your situation invites defeat. As a leader, you must be courageous. When you have chosen your men, keep them at your best. Mature them and care for them. They will not fail you under these considerations. Never betray them. regardless of your anger at their mistakes. They must know you will die in battle with them. If it is required. Think about the following ideas with deep resolve. Meditate with understanding. Preparation for war takes considerable study before orders should be passed to generals and then to the captains and ranks. One, the morality of the project is essential to the outcome of the project. You must know what it is you wish to accomplish and why. Be firm in your resolve and contain that you a resolve and certain that your generals and captains agree with your desires and can be depended upon to take the matter to the final point. Do they believe strongly enough in your idea to sacrifice everything that has to be sacrificed for the accomplishment of the goal? And again, I pray y'all hear, Shema. Do they believe in you as a leader? Do you believe in yourself as a leader? If everything is balanced in your favor, then proceed to the next step. If not, rethink your attitudes and desires. The atmosphere and the general attitude is most important. Are the times correct, and can you properly prepare for battle? Have you considered alternatives to the plan of operation? Can you control the needs of your troops with regard of their substance? Can you supply lines, be made secure? If you investigate these matters and plan correctly, your troops will be secure in your leadership and will not turn on you in a motorist fashion. Three, are you capable of standing alone when necessary and making decisions then will govern the outcome of the enterprise? Can you penetrate with depth and escape at will? Is there room for renegotiation a situation in order to protect the overall conditions of your plan? If not, then you must rethink the conditions and put them to your advantage. Once the war begins, someone must win and someone must lose, unless both sides are insecure in their desires. Four, do you have control over those who will wish to be in charge when you have taken your new domain? Will those you delegate authority to be able to deal with the new responsibilities thrust upon them? Do your troops consider you to be compassionate and strong, humane and truly concerned with their welfare? If they do not, then you will never be able to put your plans into motion. Five, will you do whatever is necessary to accomplish your goals, irrespective of the feelings of others who may otherwise wish you harm? You must be strong enough to confront those who will seek to pull you down. To accomplish your goals, you must consider the reaction of those who you are not taking into consideration in your ultimate plan. Even if they believe in you, they will interfere because they know you are not keeping their well-being in mind. If you lie to them, they will know that too. Their revenge will be sweet to them, regardless of your situation, of your success or failure. Six, the above matters taken in consideration, the leader generally philosophizes of the idea must be made manifest before any physical action is taken. Are those to be disposed and reassigned able to maintain their dignity? Have you provided for their needs? If you are unable to crush them, resolutely? Are the enemy's men you are saving and delegating authority to able to deal with the change that they must come to terms with? The successful leader does not put someone in charge of the warehouse, the warehouse. If that person only cares about negotiating, everyone should be content with their given task and in the manner of they will perform admirably. You must praise and admonish your men with the same intensity. You must never play favorites. Anything you do that is not built on balance will eventually topple, causing you great grief. Treat all of your staff as equals and permit each member of your staff to know they are special in their place, but do not let them think they are equal to you. If they realize they are not your equals, they will not try to assume command, thereby undermining your efforts. See that your staff treats their subordinates in the same fashion as you treat yours. The idea presented to you follow a sensible order, and one must not be considered more important than the other. If you prefer one idea to another, then you will not be in control of the situation. Trying to determine an easy way to accomplish your goals will, in time, cause you to be defeated. A leader must maintain personal balance in all affairs. A leader of worth must consider all these matters with an enlightened mind and at the same time maintain full authority and conviction of purpose. Do not let your men, participate in your times of meditation. Their interruptions will interfere with thoughts, causing a loss of focus on your goals. If these matters are given due consideration by one is astute, then victory is particularly assured, notwithstanding the fate. If you will think in these terms and come to understand them, then you will also know if the order you give are within reason or if they are demands that you yourself would not do, not dare follow. Amen. A leader must appear to be all things to all men. But again, a leader must appear to be all things to all men. Iya, Asha, Iya. Right? I will be that I will be. Whatever you need, Israel, I will be. But I'm going to keep on reading. I'm going to tell you. I just couldn't let that one go. I'm going to read it one more time. A leader must appear to be all things to all men. But first, he must be true to himself and not permit indecisiveness to rule his destiny. There can be no room for indecision and nothing less than full commitment to the idea. These principles must be grounded in his heart. It must be expressed through his actions towards his men. They will know if his affection is real or false. I got to read that again. They will know if his affection is real or false, and they will act accordingly. If warriors under your command follow your instructions, you will have great success. Reward them well and reward them equally, but not too often. If you feel otherwise for whatever reason, or they give you cause to suspect that their true natures are not sympathetic to yours, they should be disposed of immediately and in proper fashion. If they cannot be trusted with you, then for certain they cannot be trusted among your enemies. If you permit them to remain in your presence, they might rush to go to the other side and reveal your plan when it is least expected. Do not take this chance. War does not permit flattering personal beliefs. Never seek to to assuage, excuse me, the non-sympathetic in the attempt to convert them to your way of thinking. Empathy will be seen as a sign of weakness among your loyal followers. Men who do not follow instructions can never lead as commanders. They serve no purpose other than to use up valuable resources and create dissension. Dispose of them. Compassion must be reserved for those who truly need it, and it must be offered with leniency and not indulgent. It deliberates and weakens the strong in their resolve to fight for you. Never try to win someone over by changing your strategy in hopes of befriending them. Hope is nothing more than wishful thinking and must be avoided at all costs. It definitive focus and creates false friends who are worse than true enemies. It also brings about flattery. You must truly believe in your own idea. Preparation for war cannot be intellectual exercises. Once this principles are understood and they are taken into a leader's heart, the next level of understanding can be approached, that of making war without hesitation and without second thought. Correct strategies must be developed by methods that enable the leader to bring about implementation of his true belief. It does not matter how he does this. He must, however, make sure that his own house is the poor going into the field. Going into the field means that all precautions are in place and effort can be minimized, and effect can be minimized by using a primary tool of war, deception. The leader must look busy doing something else when he is, in fact, positioning himself intelligently and with strength. Enemies must never see you in direct motion, such as coming at them. Enemies must never make sense of your actions. And that right there made me think about Yahushua. He said, enemies must never make sense of your actions. Could not understand how, or even, that's why it's like it's so hard for them to accept who Yahushua is. Because they don't understand his actions. They don't understand the God of creation left his abode, left his glory, and put on flesh. They cannot understand that. In war, it is essential to make the enemy think one thing while you deliver a strike from another direction. It is essential to keep the enemy off balance, even by rendering assistance to him. Make him think you are befriending him while you plan his demise. Destroy your enemy in any way you can, but never forget that he must have resources as well and may be prepared for your attack. Consider him a fool for self-arrangement if it is appropriate. But do not become vain in your own estimation of him, nor permit yourself to consider him weak-minded, regardless of the terms. Remember, you did not invent war, and he may be maintaining his place of power in the same manner that you maintain yours. Never think that he is incapable of destroying you. If he moves right, you move right. In an encircling gesture, leaving some men to move left. If he move left, you move left in a circling gesture, leaving some men to move right. Do not permit him to flank you. If he moves back, you move forward, leaving some men in the rear. In the rear for support. If he moves in, you move in with greater resolve, taking care to outflank him. All must be committed to the battle. Again, all of your troops must be committed to the battle. They must be well insult the enemy with subversion. Where and when you can, insult him, degrade him, where and when you can degrade. Offer fool's bait and entice him to display his stupidity. Do something that may appear stupid and capitalize on his arrogance. Insult his children and insult his parents. Man, he getting dirty, man. That's allowed, though. It will anger him and bring about wrath and act. Insult his wife, his physical joints with her, and it will force him to focus his rage incorrectly. Insult him directly. As a commander, he will be forced to protect his face and attack with less than well-thought-out tactics. If he is not resolute in matters of war, he will easily be kept off guard. He will issue inappropriate orders, and his men will react without conviction and fall in battle. It is always best to let the enemy kill himself. If these actions do not motivate him toward combat, then you had best reconsider your enemy and his sense of beingness. It is wise to keep the enemy on the move, forcing him to cover areas that ordinarily need extended care. Create disturbances that force him to settle his mind elsewhere. Create dissension among his troops by providing them with gifts they would not ordinarily receive. Poison his food supply. Disease his men with unclean women. Create strain in his thinking. And when he is flustered, drive in and destroy him, totally including the people thought to be his allies, who must be intimidated by you ferocity of purpose. If they were his allies, they cannot be your allies, at least in the present time. You will need time to watch them and see how they react all your actions and your enemy's deceit. Do what I tell you to do. You will always be successful in war. If you ask what happens if he does the same thing to you, you do not understand what I am talking about. Study deeply. And that is the end of that right there, family, of the Book of War. And we'll be going through this all. We're not going to go through all these, but as I will move upon, we will go through the book. So if you can, $12. I got this for $12. I had it for a while, but if you're able, go out and get the book. If you read it, you understand and you're here. If not, it will be read. It may not always be broke down, but there will be points that I will stop and I will read. Because we're talking about war. And I like how that he said, even poison their food. We understand that our food is being poisoned now. We understand that there's something in the air. It's not just about the ceremony. We're talking about war. Every aspect of our lives, spiritual, first and foremost, then the physical. Every aspect of our lives. The Abba Yahweh, he is a man of war. He said he's a man of war. He also said that I will be fighting Amalek from generation to generation. And one more scripture to close out with, family. I'm not going to ramble on. And that is 12:17. Revelation 12. verse 17. Keep in mind what we're talking about. We're talking about war. It started off with Pharaoh, went to Amalek. We learned that both of these points to the dragon, who is Satan. Revelation 12:17. The dragon grew angry with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep Yah's commandments and hold Yahushua's testimony of Yahushua, who keeps the commandments of Yah and hold the testimony of Yahushua. Allah ain't angry with nobody else on the face of the planet. And who is the woman? The woman is Israel. Who is her offspring? It's the remnant. It is what Rabbi Yaakov have been bringing out these last few years, I believe, the Israel of Yah. Those who have been pulled out and being placed in matter. No matter if you're homegrown, or if you're what we would call a proselyte, if you came from another nation and you keep the commandments, testimony of Yahushua, you are an Israelite. You who the dragon is mad with, you are who Halal, Hasatan, Satan, the devil, you is who he at war with. Everybody else in the world is already on his team, whether they enlisted or not. They're already on his team. Those who are enlisted in Yahweh's army, he's upset with you. And he's throwing everything at you and the kitchen sink. And that is the end of my Torah portion tonight, family. Prayerfully, Abba Yah talked to you and was able to give you something because he gave me something. I got to go back and listen to it again because when you're teaching, you don't hear everything. You just listening to the voice of Yahweh and speaking. You got to go back and you'll listen and Abba Yah will be able to say, oh, I didn't hear that. You missed that. So I go back and I listen every now and then. But for the most part, I listen to my Morays and eat some athletes. And we'll close right here with the closing benediction. Family, you find that. And we close out the breakfast portion of the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with Shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba Yah, once again, for allowing me to speak for you, Father, allowing me to be used, Abba Yah. I thank you for that, for speaking through me, Father. Father, once again, I ask that you heal your people, Father. Put that shield around us, Father, because the enemy is coming. Put that spirit of Yahushua richly in all of us, Father. When Halal come, we know that we don't have to worry about him, that we can stand on, that we can call to mind what you said in your word. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. Give him no foothold, and he can't come in. So allow us to stand on that, Abba Yah. Continue to strengthen us, Father. Continue to put your word within our mouth and our hands, and let it cover our whole being, Father. So we all be walking, talking Yahushua, walking, talking Torah, Father. So when the world see us, and as was brought out earlier by your Ray, Dr. L, that we can infiltrate Halal's kingdom, Father. You have set us here to infiltrate his kingdom, Father. Continue to equip us with what we need, Father. Continue to allow our resolve to be with your resolve. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom. Mama,
digging through the rubble, bubbling. We don't need no more trouble, never telescope vision. Hot, hot, fishing like I'm running the mock up on a rhythm. Stay on the band so you don't lose the vision. Same season, Peter Pan up from my pants, just like yourself from the silly feeling it. You're breathing it, you put on your glasses and you see through it. Fear no fussy, but it's majesty. My spirit, you be deep, for you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear no fussy, but it's majesty. My spirit, you be deep, for you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Some of them run, run, run me like a rat on a wheel. Try to find a new deal. Who is there? Seeking for a meal. This world is real on the heels of a final generation. I remember that day in November, standing on a roof and I'm feeling so tender. All shook up like I've been in the blender. Fend off the demons in the park after dark. Send me your hand, I want to be a member. Spend too much and now I'm rendered dead. Mend these wounds, we got to find a common thread. Want to fly in the sky, but you're heavy like this. Fear no fussy, but it's majesty. My spirit, you be deep, for you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear no fussy, but it's majesty. My spirit, you be deep, for you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Just a tool in the hands of the builder. Fill them with the strength to go further. Dig in deep for eternal treasure. Stay away from quicksand and false pleasure. They mouth speak with arrogance. Appearance like a lion lurking in the mist.
Thank you.